Hello, thanks for downloading this podcast. Now, before we get into it today, before we start proper, Ouch is holding a storytelling event where we're asking people to come forward and email us, ouch@bbc.co.uk. That's ouch@bbc.co.uk, with their stories, that's your stories, about love and romance and relationships. Broad as you like, yeah? And we're looking for stories that are fascinating, interesting, perhaps a little bit quirky, maybe, if that's your thing. And of course, it all has to be from a disability perspective. That's you, as a disabled person, telling stories live on stage in a comedy club that we have booked in London and hope to give more announcements out about really soon. So watch this space, listen to this podcast, and email us if you want to get involved. ouch@bbc.co.uk, as I've said. Now, on with today's podcast. Emma?
Yes?
I really like the expression, blind man's fog. Do you know it?
I do know it. Yes, it's one of those things that comes up a couple of times a year, usually around this time, often sort of before Christmas.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be snowing all over the country today, although it's not snowing where I am. Is it snowing where you are?
Or where I am, no.
No? Oh, and you're in Edinburgh?
Yes.
And I live on the East Coast. But somehow we live in a hole where there was no snow or flooding.
Which sort of ruins our idea for this podcast, really. Yeah.
And the podcast is Inside Ouch. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Damon Rose. Speaking to me is Emma Tracy there. And on the line is Amy Slavin.
Hello.
Hello, Amy. Thank you for joining us. Now, the reason why we're all together is because all the rest of the team is away at the moment, and only the blind ones are left. And we thought that we thought that it might be a good idea to just talk about a whole bunch of blind stuff. And Amy is also blind, aren't you, Amy?
I am.
And what we're going to be talking about today is weather and sound. And stay with us on this. It'll be interesting, trust me. Blind man's fog, then. Let's put a name to it. What is snow?
It is snow, because snow sort of blankets everything with a muffle, and it changes the sound of your surroundings. And blind people absolutely use sound to get around. So the sound of their footsteps and the sound of walls around echolocation, which is that thing that everybody knows about with people walking around going, trying to find, listen to the echoes of their clicks coming back at them. But snow muffles all that. And it also changes how footpaths and roads connect, so the steps can be gone if there's a lot of snow, and it's hard to find where the path ends and the road begins, so it's kind of dangerous as well. But, you know, I think you and Amy particularly, because Amy, you're a bit of a sound guru, aren't you? You know a bit more about that as well.
Oh, I don't know about guru. But
well, yeah, I didn't mention it. I forgot to say the reason we've got you on is because you are the, what are you, the curator, the producer, the showrunner of Sonophilia, which is a sound festival in Lincoln that happens every year.
Yes, I do lots of sound things. I'm a sound artist, make installations and things, and direct the Sonophilia Festival. I've done for the last few years. Also, but more importantly, I'm the only one of us that has actual snow going on, so that's the real reason I'm on, isn't it?
Yeah, that really does qualify you to be on today. Have you thought a lot about how snow and other types of weather changes the sound of blind people's surroundings and how it affects how they get around?
I don't contemplate it for the joy of doing so, if you know what I mean. It's more thinking about what might be difficult about getting to such and such a destination today because of the weather. Yes, with snow it is. The muffle and the way that it disguises sounds of approaching vehicles and things, so it can make it harder to spot both landmarks and potential dangers. And also, as you say, the most tricky thing is that you can kind of lose roads and things. If you're on a sheltered pavement beside a wall, that remains a tall thing, whether or not it's got snow on it or beside it. But if snowdrifts drive you away from your wall, or if you're walking across the front of, say, gardens where there are only low barriers, if any at all, then it becomes incredibly difficult to know where you are reliably, and then that becomes dangerous, harder for a guide dog to work because they have the same issues going on, and that their whole working environment becomes different. And it's more concentration and less reliable results.
We really use walls, don't we? We depend a lot on walls, particularly if you're using a cane. Maybe, Damon, you're currently using a cane instead of a dog. Do you find that walls are more important? Because I definitely do when I'm using the cane.
Well, yeah, but I listen for them. This is the interesting thing. People have been talking an awful lot recently about echolocation. I think people have only just kind of woken up to the idea that blind people find their way around using their ears and sounds and things. And it really lights up the world, doesn't it? You know, all different noises in your atmosphere spark other noises and echoes, which give you an idea of how far away a wall is, or for instance, whether you're walking under an archway or whether you're walking near, I don't know, different surfaces. You can tell the different surfaces around, can't you? Shinier surfaces and all sorts. They've all got different sounds that you become very familiar with.
Yeah. I was going to say you can't beat a wall, but of course you can with a cane, and to a very good effect.
Walls are good. I mean, what do I add
to that?
They're
good for orientation. I don't think my echolocation is overly good. And when I'm using my cane, so I guess people probably wonder why people tap along with their cane or roll it along and make it quite a loud noise with it. It's to help with the echolocation, and it's to help the sounds to bounce off walls and things to help you orientate yourself. And when the snow comes, that's all gone because the carpet of snow takes away that bashing sound that your cane makes. So I think when I'm using my cane, I use that sound quite a lot in orientation as well.
Yeah, and a lot of people are going to be, I think, a bit confused by that. They'll be thinking, hang on a minute, Emma, I thought you were walking along with your cane, and when you bang into something, then you change direction and move around it, and you know it's there because you banged into it. But actually, it's a sound tool as well. You hit the pavement, as you say, in front of you. It makes a sound a little way in front of you and gives you a bit of advanced echo warning, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Of what's around just ahead of you.
And I think that might be one of the reasons why all these techie canes might not have come to fruition so much, because I think when
should we just explain that? It's like the back cane, and it sort of beeps and makes funny noises.
And it vibrates, and it, often you have to wear a headphone with them so that you can hear the electronic noises they're making.
That's
to help
mad.
You decide how to orientate yourself.
When you're trying to get around, I don't understand that as well. I don't know if there are blind people who go around with iPods or whatever in motion, but the idea of wearing anything even in the coldest weather, if I'm wearing a woolly hat, I'll have the sides of it folded up because I can't have my ears covered. It's plain dangerous.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can't put a hood on when it's raining.
No, not at all. Hoods are bad altogether because they block anything coming from behind, or they distort it. It's not that you can't hear it, but it takes your picture out of true of what's going on. Part of our landscape is that we have in our consciousness the sound of our sides and behind us going on all the time, which maybe is something that other people don't. Well, they do have, but don't make use of so much.
Yeah, so it feels like you're actually wrapped in cotton wool, literally, when you've got a hood up. You feel like you're actually just in a cocoon of cotton wool walking along, and all you can feel is the sort of thump-thump of your feet, the suspension, you know, going through your body of your feet hitting the ground, and that's basically all you can hear. And it's ruinous, basically, for getting around to wear a hood, I think.
Terrifying. Yes, it's wrapped in cotton wool, but with an absolute opposite psychological effect of from what we'd think of as being wrapped in cotton wool, as in dangerous and frightening to be in.
So we've talked about tapping with your cane to make a little bit of noise to create echoes. Emma talked earlier about how some people walk along and go with their tongue or click their fingers. We always used to hear, because Amy and I used to go to the same school, you'd hear people walking around the school, wouldn't you? Blind school, clicking to check out are we near the wall? Is it near? You could tell if it was getting nearer, and then you could tell whether you were near the kind of hole in that wall, which meant it was a door.
Or do you notice that some blind people have quite loud footsteps as well? They just use like the footfall of their shoes to hear what's going on around them.
I walk differently. I only realised this recently. In some locations, I kind of walk on my heels to make a certain kind of higher pitched kind of echo. In other locations, when I might be like entering a shopping centre where it's a bit more echoey and there's walls around and things, I tend to slide my feet just a little bit so that it makes more elongated kind of noises, more like shh sort of noises, so that you hear more sound more often coming off those walls, and you can tell then which way the walls stretch and where the likely end of it is. Does that ring any bells with you?
Yeah, when you're between two walls that are coming further apart as you progress, like you get in stations and things, don't you, a lot when they've done lovely design that seems to me designed to confuse blind people specifically, with all the lovely curved bits and the, you know, the ergonomic and the landscaping and all the stuff that takes away all your nice, easy landmarks. So you kind of have to hold in a whole picture of the whole shape of the space that you're in, including the depth and the height of it, because you can't just take your single plane view as a sighted person. You have to involve yourself in the sound. You've got the whole of the acoustic and the soundscape. You can't have just a part of it. So in finding ways to decipher that and to work with it.
We've got an interesting clip from a film that was in the documentary film that was in the cinemas last year. Emma, do you want to talk about this?
Sure. So this is a clip from a film called Notes on Blindness, and it's based on diaries a man called John Hull kept when he was losing his sight in the 80s. And one of the things that happened to John Hull when he was losing his sight is he went outside one evening and it was raining, and he realised what rain did to the soundscape of his garden.
If only there could be something equivalent to rain falling inside. Then the whole of a room would take on shape and dimension.
Now that is a really nice bit of audio. You hear different kinds of rain dropping off different kinds of things in different kinds of situation. And I don't think I've ever heard a montage of rainfall like that before. I hadn't really thought about how rainfall can really enhance your understanding of what's around you, because that all of that extra noise going on is helpful, isn't it, Amy?
Yeah, I would think of the sound of rain more in the realm of the aesthetic rather than the necessarily informative, which isn't to say that it isn't informative, because it is.
So it's kind of pretty.
Yeah,
attractive.
And listening to the clip, I found myself being kind of silly and thinking sounds like someone weeing in a field and then accidentally, oh dear, he's now weeing on the tent, and just being bringing out my inner child, which is never far below the surface. But I was realizing that I wasn't taking it seriously as a tool. I was just thinking it in terms of sound, which may just mean that I go through life so obliviously that of course I make use of it along with all the other sounds in the soundscape, but I just don't think of it like that. And I think the environment is telling us things all the time, and rain is certainly an aspect of that, and those sounds can be very useful and add lots of texture to the environment. But when I set off in the morning and it's raining, my first thought definitely isn't, oh, good, today I'll be able to know so much more about where I am. My thought is, oh, well, I'm going to get wet.
And the dog's going to get wet.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a towel with you if you're going somewhere important next.
Yeah.
That's a pain. And your hair is going to get wet because you can't wear a hood.
Yes, exactly. Oh, God, yes, exactly. And you can't carry an umbrella because you've got
Because you're going to take someone's eye out, ironically.
Yeah. Can you ironically take someone's eye out? It's a whole new art form.
Well, I really love rain because, for me, it does paint pictures. You can stand there. If you just pay attention for a few seconds, you can think, ah, trees, wall, pavement, long stretch of pavement with nothing on because it's making more of an echo sound, drains, you know, sound of water going down down the edge of the gutter, that kind of thing. And it really does light up the world for me. I love it. I do. I do look forward to when it's raining, but not when it's windy, because of course when it's windy, the wind gets in your ears and you can't hear anything.
Oh no, wind is the worst. And wind's probably even worse than snow, actually, in the two together, which is what we've got today here, is just the worst of everything. So wind, a strong wind, like the kind of winds we've had this week, for a start you have to concentrate harder to walk in a straight line because the wind's pushing you about and upsetting your whole sense of balance and where you are, and then it's essentially blindfolding you by roaring over all your landmarks and messing up all your strong wind is the worst.
It is, and it's very hard to make good decisions when you're crossing a road because it just really distorts the sound. As is tradition now, I put out on my Facebook, what's your least favourite weather? Because I have a lot of blind people on my Facebook, and a lot of people said wind rather than snow because they said if you slow down and take it easy in the snow, you can at least get by. Whereas with wind, you're just completely discombobulated. The sounds are so distorted that it's really hard to make really clear judgments on what you're doing at all.
Yeah, you might just as well have an iPod stuck on your ears, mind you, when it's
well,
windy.
Well, and somebody kind of pushing you as you're going, you know, someone kind of attacking you.
You know those blind awareness courses where people put blindfolds on you and say, there you go, now you know what it's like to be blind. What they should really do is put an MP3 player on you and start pushing you around. I think that's what we're getting from this.
Yeah.
We're beginning. I'm a little bit worried. We're sounding a teeny bit like Radio 4 or Radio 3 in our close analysis of sound and weather and things like that. So, Amy, I'm wondering, just to complete the Radio 4 circle, could you make an art installation out of this kind of thing? Weather and noise and...
Yeah. For example, you could do something which would be in one space. You could create different storm environments and recreate different kinds of storms from around the world so that you could do a global tour of stormy weather with zephyrs and mistrals and hurricanes and...
Thunder snow.
Yes, exactly, thunder snow. Except I gather the striking thing about thunder snow is the way the lightning lights up the snow, so... maybe not the best candidate for an installation in itself, but then again, what would be interesting is to find the sound of thunder snow, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Have we stopped talking?
Would be interesting.
Have we stopped talking about bombs now? I think last year we were talking about storm bombs and snow bombs and that kind of thing.
What's a snow bomb?
I can't remember.
I've never heard of that ever.
What's thunder snow?
I don't know what thunder snow is. Bringing it back round to blind man's fog, you know something about the history of that phrase, Damon?
Oh, not the history as such. It's just adding a bit more colour to it. We were talking yesterday, weren't we? During the 1950s, when London had an awful lot of fog and we had what were referred to as pea supers, there were quite a few stories that came out of blind people showing people the way home from the tube, because of course the fog doesn't affect you if you can't see, you know, it's just the same as normal. So it's a bit colder, because as I understand it, fog really is like having a cloud come down from the sky and it's on the ground with you. That was how someone explained fog to me recently.
That will have been Radio 4, won't it?
Probably Radio
4. I think
4.
I heard it too.
so blind people were known for doing that. So, of course, when we say blind man's fog, when blind people really are affected, is when there's stuff you can feel, stuff that ruins the natural, lovely lines between pavement and road, for instance. Those lines that we rely on to help us navigate, find our way around, you know, when they meld into one because there's snow all over the top of it, that's blind man's fog. That really affects you. So that was all I know no more. Well, that's been a really interesting conversation, I think. Enlightening, I don't know. But thank you, Emma and Amy. This has been Inside Out. We are back again next Friday. And if you want to get in contact with us in the meantime, tell us about your weather. Tell us about your sounds. My wife, when we first met, she always used to jokingly sort of pull my leg and say, "You like sound, don't you?" ouch@bbc.co.uk is our email address. We're on Facebook and we are on Twitter as @BBCOuch. Thank you very much for listening.